Before we dive into this, let's do a little bit of a open forum thing. So if the promised land represents the victorious Christian life, which it does, God says in this passage that the nations and the peoples that they're going to take are greater and mightier than Israel. So what would that picture for us as Christians, if God wants us to cross the Jordan River and live the victorious Christian life, what would these greater and mightier nations represent? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Ethan.
The flesh.
Okay, that would definitely be something that we have to battle. Anything else? These giants, these giant walled cities, what would they represent for a Christian who wants to cross the Jordan and live a victorious Christian life? Satan would be one. Is Satan greater and mightier than us as individuals? Absolutely. We're going to talk about that tonight. And so God is, they're about to go in, as we know, and this is the, as we call it, the second law. That's what Deuteronomy means. And God has been giving them warnings, some bewares, also some encouragement to go in, don't be afraid, and so forth. Here, he is reminding them that he's not taking them in because of them. He's taking them in because of who he is. And let's keep that in mind tonight as we think about our own walk and our own Christian life. So verse 1, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast him out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess the land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people." So our title from verse 1, greater and mightier than thyself. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that tonight we would learn from it. And Lord, we would take to heart what we need to take to heart for our own walk as we cross the Jordan, as we set out to live for you and live that abundant life that you promised us. And so, Lord, may we tonight recognize that you will give us those things, but not because of who we are, but because of who you are. May we grasp that and live it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So greater and mightier than thyself. These nations which you are about to go in and dispossess, they're greater than you. And as he mentions, remember the Anakims 40 years before when the spies came back with their report? Remember 10 of the spies said, we can't do this because there's giants there. And the giants were the descendants of Anak. They were called the Anakims. So God's reminding them, yes, the giants are still there. The walled cities, which the spies complained about, they're still there. These great and mighty nations, they're still there. 40 years later, this new generation is about to go in. God says, it's yours now. Let's go. Go in. Take the land. But he's reminding them that these nations that they are going to defeat, they're not going to defeat them because of who they are. They're going to defeat them because of who God is. And this is important for us to grasp. God wants us to live the victorious Christian life, and yes, we have some big battles to fight, don't we? We've got some giants to fight. We've got some walled cities that we need to take. We've got the devil. We've got the flesh. We've got the world all trying to stop us. And in our own strength, we can't do it, can we? And God never said, I want you to live a victorious Christian life and you're on your own. He never said that, did he? He said, I want you to live the victorious Christian life and I'm going to make it happen. Look at Philippians 2:13 and I'll show you this. But the devil, I asked this question before, is the devil more powerful? Of course he is. For us as an individual, we would never think to take on the devil by ourselves. That would just be ridiculous. I mean, the devil is a fallen cherubim, isn't he? He's powerful. He's called a dragon. He's called the god of this world, a murderer, the serpent, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the world, the tempter, the wicked one. He has a lot of power. He runs this world right now. So God says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God that not only wills it, but does it. Amen? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And this is one of the beauties of Christianity, is yes, God calls us to always do more, to always serve him more, to always accomplish more in his name, but he never tells us to do it in our own strength. He only tells us to do it in his strength, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Amen? Which strengtheneth me. And that's what he's trying to tell them now. You're about to go in. I'm about to help you tear down those walled cities. I'm about to help you take down those giants, those people that live up on the top of the hill. It seems impossible. It's not, because God says, I'm involved. Amen? And you can do this because I've already, look at verse 3, I'm going to go before you. He says, the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. Never forget that. The victorious life that God wants you to have, the abundant life that God wants you to have, if you go out and you're willing in his strength to fight the devil and to fight the flesh and to fight the world through the power of God's word and the Holy Spirit, God's right there fighting with you. He even goes before us. What a blessing that is. He says in verse 3, I'm a consuming fire. He says, he shall destroy them. He shall bring them down. Notice he's saying, I'm going to do this. Yes, you're going to have to get your swords out. And yes, you're going to have to fight. We know Jericho, Ai, and so forth, and it just kept going. But, you've got a sword in your hand and you're fighting. But God says, who's going to bring them down? He says, he is. Who's going to destroy them? He is. And this is kind of one of the quandaries sometimes of the Christian life, isn't it? That we're told to fight. We're told that we're soldiers. But God always says, I will fight for you. Now, he never says, you just sit there and relax and all fight, does he? For Christians, no. He says we're supposed to work. We're supposed to get up and fight. We're to be soldiers and so forth. We're to serve God and finish his work. He never said to Israel, you wait here, I'll go and wipe out all those cities, and when the land is cleared, then you come over. He said, no, you're going to go over, you're going to fight them one at a time, and defeat them in my strength. And that is the same for us, isn't it? Greater is he that is in you, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. The devil's stronger than we are individually, but us and Jesus, undefeatable. Amen? Nobody can beat Jesus, especially something or someone that he created himself. The devil's just another created being who was created by the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the promise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take them. And I'm going to destroy them, but you're going to have to carry the sword. You're going to have to do the sword fighting. but I'll do this for you. Here's the warning, verse 4. Once it happens, once you get in there, and once these cities start falling one by one, and these countries, and the giants, you take them down. Remember last week he said, beware when things are going good, because that's when you're going to be more likely to forget me. Now he's saying, beware when you start winning these battles, that you don't start thinking that it's because you won the battles. Another tendency of us, isn't it? Is not only to neglect God more when things are good, but to try to take credit for things that God has done in our lives, because we're so self-focused. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out before thee. Once it's happened, don't say, for my righteousness the Lord thy God hath brought me. And don't say, because who you are. Don't think that now, oh, you won these battles because you're so amazing. Don't say, for my righteousness the Lord brought me in. He says, no, I'm doing this for two reasons. Number one, because of their wickedness. But number two, I've already made the promise that I will do this for you. Way back, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I've already made the promise. And I'm a promise-keeping God. Amen? But don't fall into this trap, Israel, of thinking that this was because of you. Now, what do you think Israel did? They did this very thing, didn't they? Both of these bewares that we've talked about these past 2 weeks, when they got in there and they started kind of relaxing, you know what they did? They stopped fighting. And they left, as you look in Judges chapter 1, tribe after tribe. Oh, they didn't take down this city. Oh, they left this city. Oh, they left this one. They left this one. They left this one. They stopped fighting. God said, no, wipe them all out. They stopped fighting. They got comfortable. God said, beware that you don't get comfortable when you get in the promised land and forget who I am and forget it was all with me that did it. Now he's saying, and beware that you don't start thinking you're super special. That's exactly what Israel did, isn't it? And when Jesus came on the scene, the Jews looked at the Gentiles as dogs. Self-righteousness. Well, we're God's chosen people. We're going to go to heaven because we're God's chosen people. And that's why Jesus said, no, you got to repent or you'll all likewise perish. That's what they had been taught. That's what they believed. The religious leaders have been telling them this for hundreds of years. You're Jews, you're fine. You're God's people. We got to be careful. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:7 as an example in the New Testament. We, again, another dichotomy of the Christian life. We struggle, we fight, we have trials, we have problems. And when we start winning battles, sometimes we stop and say, wow, look at me. And that's the worst thing we could do. 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now, this would apply to anything. Amen? Anything that gets accomplished for the cause of Christ, God did it. Now, he might have done it through us, but God did it. And like Paul says here, what do you have that God didn't give you? Nothing. Any ability, any strength, any gift, the air you breathe, anything you have, God gave it to you. So who are you to now say, well, or to glory in it? There's no place to ever glory in it. Jeremiah 9 is another example. If you want to turn there, verse 23, you know, when we stand before God, the Bible says we're going to be allowed into heaven because we're accepted in the Beloved. We're acceptable to God because of who we're in, not of who, because of who we are. Amen? We're acceptable because we're in Christ. That's why we aren't to spend our Christian lives trying to make ourselves acceptable to God. We already are. We don't serve God to say, oh, I need to become more acceptable. You're already acceptable 100% through Jesus Christ. We serve God because we love Him. And we appreciate what He did for us. We're not trying to earn His favor, in other words. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, look what it says. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So these are things that we tend to glory in, according to God. Our wisdom, our might, or our money. Verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in the Lord, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. If you have might, if you have wisdom, if you have riches, what does God say? Praise Him. Don't ever glory in those things. Instead, praise God for being the one who's loving, who's kind and loving and righteous, and has allowed those things to come to pass in your Christian walk. You know, it's just a tendency of man, just like last week, to forget God when things are good. It's a tendency of man when God uses us to accomplish great things for Him, to fight battles and win them, to start thinking it's because of us. Verse 5 of our passage, Deuteronomy 9, not for thy righteousness, nor for thy uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. Israel, don't forget this. It's not because of who you are. It's not because you're righteous. It's not because you're upright. But for the wickedness of these nations, there's one reason I'm going to drive them out. The Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And what does he say? That he might perform the word which the Lord sware. So he's saying, I'm going to destroy them because they're wicked. And I'm going to destroy them because I promised that I would hundreds of years ago. And I keep my promises. Well, did God promise to bless us? Did God promise to use us? Did Jesus promise that we could have life more abundantly? Absolutely. But we've got to cross the Jordan and do some fighting. And with God's help, we can win some battles. But don't ever, he says, stop and think, oh, I won that battle because of me. Nope. I won that battle because of God. Amen? And then he reminds them, verse 6, understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. You're already, he said, you're already stiff. You're not going to become stiff-necked. You already are stiff-necked. I've been dealing with you for a long time, and you're stiff-necked. Stiff-necked, it means rebellious, right? He that being often reproved, Proverbs 29:1, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed in that without remedy. It means rebelling, stiff-necked, rebelling against authority, rebelling against God. Look at Jeremiah 17:23. He says, this is you, Israel. You're stiff-necked. You're self-righteous. And you're going to get in there and you're going to get comfortable and forget me. These are the warnings. Jeremiah 17:23, but they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. When you're stiff-necked, you don't receive instruction. And then also Isaiah 63:10, if you turn there quickly. Isaiah 63:10. It says, but they rebelled, talking about Israel, and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy. Look at this last phrase. And he fought against them. The very God that says, I will fight for you, I will fight with you. Now he says, I'm going to fight against you. We don't want to cross that line, do we? Where instead of God fighting for us and with us in the promised land, he's now fighting against us because we're stiff-necked, because we're self-righteous, because we've forgotten God. But this is what he says of Israel. So yet another warning. And there's more coming. These warnings about when you get in there, you're about to go. Let me warn you what could happen because you're stiff-necked. Let me warn you what could happen because you're self-righteous. Let me warn you what could happen when you get comfortable, when I'm blessing everything that you eat, blessing your families. Let me warn you what could happen. And by the way, every single thing that God warned them about came to pass. That's the sad bit, isn't it? He said, this is what's going to happen, and it happened. Now, they could have prevented it. If they would have just given God the glory, if they would have just obeyed his commandments, they could have prevented it, but they didn't do those things. So he says to them, these nations, these cities, these giants, they're greater than you. They're mightier than you. But I'm going to go in before you, verse 3. I'm going to precede you, and when you go in to fight, I'm going to fight with you. Not every city was like Jericho, only the one. That was just to kind of get things kick-started, right? The walls falling down. But after that, they had to fight for every city. But God was with them. Amen? And they won, and they won, and they won. Ai is the exception, of course. And that's a whole different story, which we'll get to. But they just kept winning. Why? Because God was with them. But then they got comfortable. They quit fighting. They started taking credit for what had been accomplished when God did it all. And then pride, stiff-necked. So what a warning for us. We're going to keep having to fight battles if we want to live for God, if we want to have victories for God. We've got to keep fighting. But every time we win a battle, we need to stop and say, thank you, Lord, for winning that battle. Amen? I didn't do it. God did it. That's where we need to stay. Give God the glory, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, including winning a battle in the promised land, do all to the glory of God. Because, yeah, we've got some battles to fight, and they are greater than us. They are mightier than us. We have God. So don't be afraid, but also don't take credit. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for this warning. And I pray, Lord, we would take heed that we have more battles to fight before you come. And I pray that when we go to fight them, Lord, that we would fight them in your strength. And Lord, when we win them, that we would give you the glory alone. And Lord, when things are going good, we wouldn't forget you. And we would never become stiff-necked towards your commandments. May we be soft and submissive and obedient to your precious word. Thank you so much for speaking to us. We love you in Jesus.